When you figure how many years that this pastor's been here, almost 30, how many messages through the 30 years that I needed to try to find fresh material? That's a challenge. I can assure you of that. So, it's not too often I go to the internet, except for times like this. New Year's Eve service message. I came across one. I can't take any credit for this message. I have added some things myself, but I can't take any credit for it. I'm going to share it with you. It's four keys to having the best year you ever had. How many of you would like for this new year to be better than the last year? Boy, I would. I would. We started out last year with pneumonia and then with cancer. So, yes, I definitely am looking forward to a better new year. We know there's some things that you and I cannot change. No matter how much effort we put into it, we can't change. But then there's some things that we can change. And we have the ability to change. And that's why I want to give you four keys to work on that, to do that. I want to give you the best material you can have for making sure that this next year will be a good year for you. How about that? You have your Bibles, now you can turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Did I send the little ones back? Little ones can go back to junior church. All right. How to make the most of your new year. How to make the most of it. Now you heard King James Version of what we read. I'd like to read another version for you called the Good News Version. Of the same passage, of the same verse. An intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. Does that sound like you? Does that sound like you? Are you already thinking about what you're going to do next year, the new year? Well, Homer, this year went fast, didn't it? We had this discussion, didn't we? Boy, Homer says it goes fast. Why is that? Is there less time in it? No. I think it happens that we're so busy. And the busier you are, the faster it seems the year goes. What else would it be? How else could you come up with a conclusion that... Do you remember your... How many of you remember your parents say, you just wait till you get older. You'll know how time flies. How many heard that from your parents? Now, I did. You just wait. When I was in school, I thought it just drug. I didn't really care for school that much. And I just thought time drug. It didn't go fast enough for me. And now it's like those drag racers, you know, they go so fast, they throw a parachute out. That's how I feel about life in a year. I want to throw a parachute out. I want to try to slow it up a little bit. Because for me, the year went just like that. Here we are looking at another one. Wow. Wow. Do you remember when everybody was worried about the Y2K bug? Huh? Year 2000. Oh my, we were just so worried about it. The grid was going to shut down. Our safety was going to shut down. And this might be a time for the enemy to attack. You know, just such a mess was going to happen with Y2K. The computers were going to shut down. You remember that? Here and gone. Here and gone. The threat we have looming over us now is North Korea. What will happen to Rocket Man? Don't know. I really don't care. Oh, I do care, but I should say I'm not that concerned because the Lord's in control of my life. How about yours? The Lord's in control of my life. Yes, I'm concerned about a lot of things, but I love the Lord and I want to be closer to Him than I've ever been. We can do one of two things this year. We can waste it, the new year. We can sit around and worry about things that we didn't accomplish last year, the mistakes we made through the year. We can sit around and mope and have a pity party for ourselves because it didn't go the way we wanted it to go. Or we can decide to make the most of the new year that God is granting to us on this threshold. He's going to give us another year. We're here. So he's seen fit to give us another year. I think back of how many of our church family God took home. Do you ever go through the church directory and see how many of our church families missing because they're in heaven now? I didn't really count them, but I can tell you. There's quite a number. There's quite a number. So what are you going to do with 2018? Is this year going to be any different than the last one? Last year was tough. It wasn't just tough for our family. For my family, I know it was tough for many of you. For some, it was a very challenging year. It was a year of some changes. Oh, changes. I'll just loiter there a little bit on that change. I was told I had type 2 sugar diabetes. I'm thinking, well, who in my family had that I could get it, that would be in my DNA? Of course, looking for somebody to blame. That wasn't music to my ears when I was told I'd be a diabetic on top of heart disease coming from my father's side. Now I'm a diabetic. Did I want to watch what I eat? Absolutely not. The only thing I wanted to watch is watch it when it was here and Now I got to watch. And I don't mean not just look at it. I got to make a decision to do something. The candy man can, that would be me. Huh? The candy man can. That's for others now, instead of me. Sorry about that. There it is. I'm talking about changes that I wasn't ready to make. I didn't really want to make them. Changes. Some of you, 2017 was more of a disappointment than it was a joy. Some of you experienced a loss. And for some of you, it may have been a year of setbacks and failures. And so the bad news is there's nothing we can do to change last year. That's the bad news. But the good news is we can learn from last year and we have the opportunity to start over and make some changes. Those changes won't always be easy. But, songwriter said, one day at a time. You've heard that. God brings us life in small pieces. Hours, days, months. So we can chip away at this new year that way. One day at a time. And at the beginning of every year, he wipes the slate clean. And we start out with a brand new year. And so we need to be reminded of what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about what happened last year. There's nothing you can do to change it. So don't be putting some of those things from last year into a bag. You know what I'm going to say next. To carry into the new year. Let it behind. And start the new year on a clean slate. An intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts out in many directions. And for many of us, it might describe us. Does it describe any of you? Are you going to start the new year out in haste, going in so many directions at one time and no plan of action? The very words at the beginning of this verse says an intelligent person aims at wise actions. It means that they have a goal. They have an objective. They have an aim. They have a target. How are you going to know if what you're aiming at you're going to hit if you don't have a target? If you're just shooting in any old direction, how would you know? You got to have a target. Have you set any goals for the new year? What do they call those? New Year's what? Resolutions. Goals. Goals. Or are you just going to walk into the new year and hope that it's going to be better? You don't have a plan. So I want to share with you four keys that will help all of us get the most out of our new year. What are keys? Well, keys can start something, but most of the time keys are to do what? Open a door. Keys are for opening doors. So we want to open some doors for the new year. We want to help you with that. Open some new doors, some new opportunities for you for the new year. It's my prayer that these keys will start you out on the right foot and in the right direction. That you'll be able to open doors of opportunity that God places before you. And the first key is A, accept responsibility. A, accept. Can you remember that? A, accept. Something hard for many people to do. You know, it's easier for many to just blame someone else for the problems and difficulties that one faces in our life. There's people that go around looking for someone who will accept responsibility for themselves instead of taking it themselves. Accepting responsibility isn't a very popular concept in our society. We live in a culture that embraces a concept called political correctness. And what is that? Well, basically, none of your problems are your fault. Everything bad in your life is somebody else's fault. You can blame the environment. You can blame the educators. You can blame your parents. You can blame anybody else, but it's not your fault. If you get in an accident, it's never your fault. If you spill some hot coffee on yourself, it's not your fault, Sue McDonald's, for having hot coffee to begin with. Hello. Did you ever hear that one? Next thing, they'll have to put things, labels on the ice cream. Be careful, it's cold. It's cold. You could get brain freeze and then you can sue. You think about it, it's funny, but that's where we're living. Blame somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. We'll never be a success in life as long as we're trying to find somebody else to give fault for. We must accept responsibility for our own. Galatians 6:5 says, each person must be responsible for himself. Now the King James Version says, let every man bear his own burden. Sounds like being responsible for yourself, doesn't it? The truth is, I need to be responsible for my own life, whether I like it or not. If I made the mistake, own up to it, buy it, own it, as they say. I did it. I'm sorry. I'm the one to blame. I made the wrong choice. There's two kinds of circumstances. There's those circumstances which we don't have any control over. None of us know what we're going to face in this new year. There are things that are going to happen regardless of what you do or how you plan. They're going to happen. Some of the things that we have no control over is the weather, the economy, the companies that we work for, or the words and actions of other people. We can't control that. There are some circumstances that we face that are a direct result of our choice or our action. I've known people that have had financial problems because they quit their job and didn't have another job to go to. Hey, if you're gonna quit your job, I hope you got something else lined up, folks. And some of the reasons I hear when they quit their job, I didn't like it. Someone made me mad. How many of you had jobs you didn't like? How many of you had jobs you absolutely hated? Yeah, more than you did. How many of you had jobs that people there made you mad? When people quit for those reasons, I always think, wow, one of these days they'll grow up and realize that it's life. Grab your bootstraps and pull them up. It's life. Are you getting it? Then when things get tight and money and food gets low, these same people are blamed. People blame their family. They blame the church. They blame somebody in the church because the family, the church, or someone in the church refused to accept the responsibility for the decisions and the actions of these people. What they really wanted was someone to accept responsibility for the mistakes they made, and then they want bailed out. Hello, does that sound familiar? I made a dumb decision. Would you help me bail me out? There's people like that in the world. You have them. I got them. We all have them. It's just the way it is. I'm not talking about someone through no fault of their own have fallen in hard times. We get people like that. And they're easy to help. I have no problem helping people. I have a hard time helping people that are stupid. Just plain stupid. God help me. It's hard. We can't control all circumstances that we'll face in this new year. But we do have control of how we act and how we respond. We do have control of that. And then with this message, I like to give you three kinds of people that you're going to run into in life. And you're going to run into them in the new year as well. There are accusers. I like this. There are excusers. And then there are choosers. How do you like those three? Let me give them to you again. Accusers, excusers, and choosers. Now, the excusers, they always blame somebody else for their problems. Now, we already discussed that. Their favorite phrase is, it's all your fault. It's your fault. It's never my fault. It's your fault. Then there are the excusers. There are people that always have an excuse for not making a decision of doing something. There's always a reason why they can't make the most or get the most out of their year. And so in the long run, they're the ones that are the losers. You know, I've discovered that whatever I want to procrastinate on, when I want to procrastinate on something, any excuse will do. And the Bible says a lazy man is full of excuses. And then there's the choosers. They say, I choose to accept responsibility for my actions, for my goals, and for my happiness. I'm not going to depend on somebody else. I choose the direction of my life. I'm not going to depend on the crowd because the easiest way to go is the way the multitude flows, you know. But we'll be ready to jump right ahead in this new year if we have that attitude. And then, secondly, believe. Believe that you can change. Stop saying I can't and start saying I can. If you believe that you can, you will. And with God's help, you will make a change. Philippians says, there is nothing I cannot master with the help of Christ who gives me strength. That's Jerusalem Bible. We know that King James says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So do you really believe that verse, that you can do all things through Christ? There's nothing that you can't master. No problem, no situation, no circumstance, no hassle that you can't handle, that you can't manage. You can do all that with God's help and with his strength. You can do all that. You can master it with his help. You can do it. You can't do it by yourself. You can do it with his help. There's many people that never succeed in life because they believe they can't change. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that every one of us can make changes. But it's got to start with you. Somebody wishing and wanting, you can wish and want all you want, but the person that needs to make the change, they know they're the one that's going to make the decision to do it. They've got to do it. All you're wanting to don't amount to anything until that person decides that they're going to have to make the change. They never enjoy life because life to them is just one big failure after another. And so they face a new year with regret rather than with joy, knowing that God has given them that opportunity to make a difference. You can make a difference in your life and you can make changes if you ask the Lord for help. I believe I've discovered why there's so many New Year's parties. When people get so drunk, they can't stand up. They get drunk because they want to forget the past and because they're afraid to face the future. How about that? They're sorry for things that happened last year and they're afraid to face the future. Isn't it sad? But that's how many face the new year. They face it drunk. Whatever will be, will be. But I can tell you, with the help and grace of God, I can overcome the past and I can face the future. I believe and know that I can change. It's not on my own power, but it's in the power of Christ who will give me the strength. The Bible is full of stories of those that believed that they could change after God touched them. Moses is one that comes to my mind. God said, Moses, I want to use you to save my nation of Israel. You remember the story? Moses said, me? I left and fled Egypt because I killed a guy. I'm a murderer. I'm out here feeding sheep. And on top of that, I stutter. I'm slow of speech. I don't speak well. And you want me to be a spokesman for the nation of Israel? God said, yes, I do. God said, besides, who made man's mouth? I did. God made Moses just exactly the way he was. Who made man's mouth? God said. You think Moses was telling God something he didn't already know? Why stutter? You know, if God had a little humor at that point, he said, yeah, I know. I made you that way. God has everything he does is perfect. He made Moses that way for a certain reason. Only God knew that reason. Paul had to have a what in his flesh? A thorn. God gave Paul that thorn. Made Paul that way. There's another fellow by the name of Gideon. Remember, every time it came time for harvest, the Midianites would come in and take all the harvest. Up until that point, they'd work real hard to get all the crops doing real well and real good. And when it came time to harvest, the Midianites came and took everything. How would you like that? Well, it happened to the Israelites. So God raised up a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon said, me? I'm the youngest kid in the poorest family in the smallest tribe. God said, yes, I want to use you. And God can use me and he can use you as well. God wants to use you. That's the good news. First, you need to accept the responsibility for your own life. And second, you must believe that you can change, that God can give you the power to change if you'll just trust him. And then see, you can make a choice. You can choose to change, but you need to decide what's important and what isn't important. God's given each of us an incredible gift called the freedom of choice. Do you know that's one of the things that makes us like God? When God said in Genesis, let us make man in our own image, it gave us the freedom of choice. It's one of the ways that we're very different than the animals. We have a freedom to choose between good and evil. We have the freedom to choose what we want in life. And the only way that we can choose and clarify what we really want is to make a list. Decide what's important and what isn't. Did you ever do that? It's amazing. Many people never do this. It's amazing that many never stop and think and write down what's really important to them. Have you ever written down things that was important to you? Did you ever ask yourself, what's important to me? When you're involved with cancer, and I know you'll be able to identify with this, all of a sudden, there isn't anything in this material world worth anything to you. Nothing. Just one another. What do I want for Christmas? I'm just happy to have you, honey. What's important to me? What really counts? We can't do what's important until we identify what is important. Otherwise, you're going to be just pushed around by the pressures of life, doing this, doing that, being busy, doing nothing. All of a sudden, you find the year's over, and you're saying, where did the year go? Your values determine your vision. Your desires determine your direction. Your roles determine your goals. There's so many people who've never made up their mind what they want out of life. And I can tell you that if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. Nothing. Most have this vague feeling, I just want to be happy. But have you ever sat down and figured out what it's going to make me happy? What does God want to do with my life? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? So I want to challenge you to make a list of things that are important, things that you want to accomplish. What do I value? What do I want to change? Put it down. Make it then your prayer list. Pin it on the wall. Put it in the refrigerator, someplace where you'll be able to see it every day. Pray about it. Make a plan of action that will help you accomplish what you want to set to do this year. Then do whatever you have to make and get the very most out of the new year. And then watch God do miracles in your life. Amen. Then watch Him do miracles in your life. There's some things in life that we will do that are certainly permissible, but may not be necessarily to our advantage. There'll be some things that all of us will do this year that will not benefit us at all. We've got to make a decision between what is good and what is better. And then between what is better and what is what? Best. Remember that in school? Good, better, and best. I always wanted best. Well, how about you? Why settle for good when you can get best? Then, between better and best, there's many that we can do, but not all of them could be beneficial. There's some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. And we certainly don't have time for everything. You agree with that? So we need to choose two or three things that we want to do this year. What are the things that are really important? I'm going to suggest to you two or three of them, and I'll be finished. The first thing I want to suggest, your relationship with God needs to be number one. What are you going to do this year to strengthen and improve your relationship with the Lord? What are you going to do to become more intimate with Him? You need to make your relationship with God a top priority. Amen. Number two, your relationship with your family. What are you going to do to build a stronger and better relationship with your family? What are you going to do to change about yourself that would help you to accomplish this? And thirdly, your relationship with your church and your church family. What are you willing to do to improve the quality of your church? How involved are you willing to get to help your church accomplish the great commission that God has given? How committed are you going to be in your attendance to support your church? You see, these are the three things I've heard many people in their deathbed wish they have given greater priority to. I've never heard any of them say, I wished I'd have spent more time at the office or at work at building my career. I never heard them say anything about that. And then D, finally, D would be a good word for determination, but this writer chose the word don't. Don't wait to begin. There's three words that can change your life, and it's these three words. Do it what? Now. Oh, I hear that all the time with my wife. I'm a great procrastinator. She said, do it now. Do it now. And if I don't, it gets done. It's because she does it. Do it now. Pretty good advice, isn't it? Do it now. If you and I wait for the right situation or the right kind of circumstances, we'll miss out on life altogether. There'll never be an ideal set of circumstances to start out on. So we need to make the most of 2018 and accomplish those things you want to accomplish. And we need to start when? Now. Don't wait. Ecclesiastes 11:4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Woo! Ecclesiastes 11:4. We always say, when things settle down or when things get better. Have you ever heard that? Huh? I've said that already. When things settle down here after the new year, we'll do this. Things never settle down and things don't ever get any better. Are you listening? And it's called life. And if you're out there and you're using that excuse, when things settle down and get better, I'm going to start having a daily quiet time. I'm going to read my Bible every day. You're never going to do it. If you don't learn to read your Bible and pray when things are unsettled and not so good. When things settle down, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. They'll be grown and gone before you can shake a stick. There's a lot of people who've missed out on life waiting for that ideal set of circumstances, waiting for things to get better. They were waiting, but time just kept right on going and passed them what? By. Yeah. We need to learn to enjoy life under circumstances. That, I like this, are less than perfect. A lot of things in life are less than perfect, isn't it? We just got to make the best of them. Things may not settle down or ever get better until we're with Jesus. Are you being motivated right now? Are you pumped up? Are you ready to go? When you walk out these doors, nobody will be there to motivate you or to encourage you. You're going to have to determine right now. It doesn't matter what happens or what comes your way. It's going to be the best year you've ever had yet. Believe that. Continue to improve the quality of your life with the help of our Lord. And so concluding, what kind of person will you be this year? Will you be an accuser? An excuser? A chooser? Will you choose to make the most of 2018? Will you accept responsibility for your life? Will you believe that you can change? Will you choose what you want this year and what is important to you? And will you decide to start right now with that determination? Will your relationship with God be on the top of your priority? Will your family and church be at the top of that list? The choice is yours. What will it be? Whew. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I've concluded my message today. And trust me, this message spoke to my heart many hours before it spoke to yours today. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for this message. With God's help, I want this year to be better than any year I've ever had. Would you put your hand up? I got mine up. This year, I want to be the best of any year I've ever had.
Are you here today and you don't know Jesus? That's the biggest decision you would have to make. If you're here today and you don't know him, you need to invite him into your heart. You need to say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've come short of your glory. Please forgive me. I want to be a Christian from this day forward. I invite you to live in my heart from this day forward. You prayed that prayer. You're saved. You can start a new year being saved and being a Christian. Now here's a question that I'm going to ask, and my eyes are closed. Do you have a habit in your life that you've been struggling with that you want God to take away this new year? Put your hand up. You have a habit? You have a situation in your life that you know that could be better? I got my hand up. I'm not embarrassed. I have my hand up. My life could be better. It could be closer to the Lord. I want my life to be closer to him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Would you stand now with me? Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to trust upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for this message, for this people, for this church family. Thank you for each and every one. Father, we just ask you, Lord, we know, Lord, that you're already there waiting in the new year for us. Father, I pray for each and every one. We'll have a better new year than we've ever had before. Father, we know that you are able, and we can make those changes. Lord, with your help, give us your strength. Give us your help to make those necessary changes, to put those priorities in place in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Lord bless you.